Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. My name is Fatina Kirkendall and it's always a privilege and a pleasure to be with you this evening. I thank you for who you are. So much going on. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. I thank you for his goodness. I thank you for his grace. I know, you know, I don't start the show without going into prayer, so tonight will not be any exception. I'm sorry for sounding so winded. Trying to do multiple things here. But so let's just do it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you, Lord. I come to you humble as your humble servant. I thank you, Lord, that I ask you that you remove Fatina right now, and I invite your Holy Spirit to come down and just saturate me with your love, with your wisdom, with your knowledge, with your power, with your direction. Thank you, Lord, for who you are in my life. I thank you for choosing me to be your vessel, to do what you've called me to do. I ask you to forgive me for the times I've doubted. I ask you to forgive me for not trusting in you, Lord, because you said you will never leave me nor forsake me. I thank you for the women, Lord, that you have allowed me to grace your presence or be an agent, to be a representative of you in their lives, Lord. I thank you for those who are tuning in, whether it's live or whether it's on demand. And as we move forward today, I truly ask you to saturate my heart, saturate my mind, saturate my spirit. Come in, Lord, and calm me down. Calm down, Fatina. Come in and just release your spirit. Make me drunk in your spirit. I ask you that you watch over those women who may be going through right now, not just women, children and men as well, that they who may be going through, they may need to hear what you have designed me to put out tonight. And I thank you for those who are tuning in and those, like I said, who will be listening by demand. I thank you, Lord, for what is about to happen. And as we discuss this topic tonight, Lord, direction and the rejection, that people will understand that things will happen that we may not understand, but there's a purpose. And it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. So I thank you for tuning in once again. I just thank you. I can't thank you enough. I'm so humbled. I am so humbled right now. I'm in awe. I'm in awe about so many things. I have so many things that's going on. And I just don't know how to contain myself. I'll be honest with you. God is so good. I just last week, you all know that I just came out of my hiatus. In the month of May, I took a hiatus. To get myself together. And I am so happy to be back on the air. I'm so happy to be able to speak to my women. I'm so happy to be able to fellowship with people. I'm just so happy. I'm so happy. And I'm so happy at the doors that he's opening up to not just me, but for the people that has just come to me and just shared with me where God has taken them in their lives. I'm just so happy about it. And I celebrate you. I celebrate those who are in the United States who are tuning in and those who are outside the country. Celebrate you. I celebrate you to the fullest. So as we move forward in this tonight, you know, last week we talked about can you relate? Can you relate to, you know, moving one step ahead and being pushed back three steps backwards? And tonight we're going to talk about direction and the rejection. How many have you experienced that? How many have you had that unexpected rejection, whether it's from unexpected breakup, an unexpected death, unexpected news, something that just came just out of left field that just wiped you off and just knocked you flat on your backside, and you wondered, where did that come from and why is it happening? The pain hurts, like it hurts. It takes you off guard and it hurts. And you're asking yourself, why, Lord, why? You know, I haven't done anything. You know, what? Why did this happen to me? Why is this happening to me? Can you relate to that? I mean, I go back to that question from last week. Can you relate? Has that happened to you? You know, and then where do you find yourself when that happens? You know, do you find yourself like myself, you know, wondering what's wrong with me? What have I done? You know, what's going on? And then later on, as life goes on and you cried those tears, you find out there was a different path designed for you. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. There is direction in your rejection. Sometimes doors are shut for a reason. And that's not a bad thing. And it ends up being a good thing in the end, because sometimes God will shut a door that wasn't meant for you to go through. And sometimes, let's face it, we go through it anyway. And sometimes he has to shut a door in order for him to open up another door in our life. Have you ever experienced that? And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And so I'm coming to you. You know that I will always put myself and make myself transparent. But I want to put that question out to you. Have you? Let's talk about it. We all know that rejection is nothing pretty. We all know that, you know, it's painful. We all know that it just leaves a stench of so many emotions. It can leave a feeling of embarrassment, depending on how it's done. It can feel leave a sense of, you know, not feeling worthy. And so I go to Google, because you know it's my favorite, that defines rejection as the dismissing or refusing of a proposal, idea, etc. The spurning of a person's affection. Example, some people are reluctant to try it because they fear rejection. How many of you have experienced that? And you know what's interesting? When I read that definition, how many people may develop a fear of rejection, and because of it, they choose not to move forward on doing something and become paralyzed. You know, we have to be careful with that. We can take this on so many levels, but I'm going to come back to what this is about, and that is getting directions from the rejection. And tonight, I have some special people on the line that's going to help me with this, because what better way to discuss it by having people who experience it and actually overcome the situation? You know, you hear about me all the time, but I want you to hear from other people that who's experienced it and also overcome it, and nuggets of wisdom that they may be able to share for you all. And for those who are listening and know of someone who could be blessed by this tonight, please have them log in. If you're on Blog Talk Radio, you can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. I'm also on Facebook at Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. And you can also email me at C, as in Charlie, O-A-F woman at gmail.com. Once again, that's C-O-A-F woman at gmail.com. So with that being stated, we're just going to move forward with that. So what do you do when, what rejections have you faced in your life? Was it a divorce? Was it a death? What was it? So I'm just curious as to what some of my people have had in their life or what they've experienced and how they have dealt with it. So I have someone on the line, and I just want to know your city and your state. Thank you for tuning in to Chronicles. How are you this evening? I'm not sure if you can hear me. So with that being stated, we're going to move on to the next, and we're going to move on to my next caller. And thank you for tuning in to Chronicles. And I'm not sure if you heard all of the intro, what we just stated, but all I need is your city and your state.
Hey, I'm in Marietta, Georgia. And, gosh, I think if you've lived, if you've breathed, you've experienced some type of rejection that you didn't want to happen. And the key thing is to not live in our emotions so that we can hear what God is wanting us to get out of it. Because I know he wants us to change our mindset on everything that we experience, and we can't take it as a negative. We can't internalize it that we've done something wrong. Sometimes this is what he's trying to get right out of our life, or some right that he's trying to direct us to. So, gosh, to hear the direction of what he's saying in a situation, it requires some honesty. Honesty with ourselves, and to be prepared, you know, to be in that mindset where it's like, okay, I can be hard-headed, and I can press because I want to live in the moment, or I want that immediate gratification, but where is that really going to get us? Not closer to our destiny, that's for sure. Go ahead, you were going to say something.
No, please don't, I'm sorry.
So if you're looking for a specific scenario that I've experienced in my life, oh gosh.
Well, before you do that, you said something, I got to remember what you just said. It was something that I wanted to chime on. You said earlier, it was something you said earlier, I'm trying to think. What did you just say? It was something that, when you said, I don't remember, it'll come back to me. It'll come back.
Okay.
But I want you to expand on something you said. So,
about internalizing it whenever something happens and we experience what we would label rejection.
Yeah.
Because one thing, as I'm growing up, you know, because one thing is God said, you know, he wants us to be present in the moment. He wants us to be in the present, so that we can actually go somewhere. He doesn't want us to dwell on what was behind us or get too far ahead of him and get anxious or ahead of ourselves or over-eager about our future. We have to be present. And he doesn't want us to just, I heard something powerfully said today, He doesn't want us to just show up. He wants us to grow up. And,
I like that.
You know, growing up in him requires so much transparency and honesty with yourself. And in order to receive direction in what you label a rejection, you have to be at that place. Or else you're going to miss it. You're going to reject it. You're going to fight it. but I know that he wants us to change our mindset about how we see the things that we experience and not label it negatively. We win some and then we learn some. We never lose. So a rejection,
like,
you know, is never a failure. It's, okay, God, what redirection is happening right here? Because you're redirecting me to something that I thought either I was ready for or that I wanted. And you have another plan because you're allowing all of this to happen. And you already knew we were going to be here, so I might as well set my happy, sweet self down and hear what you got to say about it and follow your lead. And in order to do that, we have to be quiet on the inside. Our external world is already busy enough. Sometimes I think it's harder to quiet your inner self than it is the chaos that's going on around you. But the most important thing that we can ask ourselves in a situation where we don't get the thing that we wanted was, okay, God, what was your plan for this? And if this isn't it, then what is our next step? What does that look like? And please make it clear to me. And don't let me let me just hit pause right here. One thing that I don't want us, especially as strong women, to do is to not allow ourselves to go through the healthy process of the loss. And it's okay to experience your disappointment. It's okay to experience your anger. Don't let it grow into a root of bitterness. Go through the emotion, give it to God, and then allow him to transform whatever needs to be transformed right there. But allow yourself to do it, because too many people spiritualize so much. And it's like, oh, well, if you got to pause, if you have to question it, if you have to cry about it, then where's your maturity or your strength or your faith in God? No, that's not always what that means. We're human now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If Jesus Christ could cry, what make you think I can't? You know? So, you know, it's just keeping it real. What is going to be the healthiest way for me to move forward so that I don't find myself in a place where now all of the stench of what I packed down for so long that was never addressed is trying to come out, and then I'm really blindsided, and let alone direction, I can't even see myself in this, you know? So it's like, if you don't stop and deal with the emotions of what you're experiencing in the present, then you can hem yourself up later and put scales on your eyes. You could put scales on your eyes by doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You will take away your divine sight that God blesses you with if you get muddled down in that. And respond out of emotion and not out of discernment from God or out of the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that he blesses us with.
So
I'm a pause because I'm going on and on.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't mind that. You know what? It's funny because I was reading something else. Of course, you know, I'm a Google chick. I was reading something and kind of goes into later something I wanted to talk about later on. But since you hit it, you know, it talks about basically when we experience that rejection, it's okay to, because we're going to have emotions. We're human. I know I'm one of those people where, you know, I'll just, hey, Tina, you need to suck it up, you know, and I won't allow myself to grieve that situation. And with me, I can, you know, if once I cry about something, healing begins. But right. Sometimes I won't allow myself to cry. And coming through this situation of going through my hiatus, I had to come into terms with it, and I was talking to my therapist and stuff. And I'm just actually wondering, you know, if anyone has, you know, gone through that, you know, when you've gotten that rejection or whatever, do you allow yourself to go through the emotions that comes with it? Because sometimes people go through, it's like you stated, that it hit something right there. You know, how many people have that? And then, you know, instead of dealing with that reality that, hey, that rejection has occurred, have you allowed yourself to feel that emotion versus, well, I'm just going to shrug it off and I'm going to keep it moving. And then next thing you know, something else may happen, and you find it bottled up, and then boom, it's like a soda pop, pop, and it explodes.
Yeah.
But it's just interesting. You know, it's interesting. It's something I'm definitely going to talk about a little later, but yeah, I'm just listening to you talking. I'm like, wow, yes, so much. Because sometimes I think as women, especially women, because we carry so much on our plate as women that we don't allow ourselves that time to deal with our emotions when rejection has happened in our lives. We really
don't. And it's unfortunate that we live in a society, especially Black women.
Mm-hmm.
We have been given that super S to wear as a shroud over us, like we're superhuman. We're not robotic. We are super.
Mm-hmm.
God puts the super to our natural. He does his supernatural thing through us. But that
mm-hmm.
does not mean that it's to be exploited. That's not to be abused. And that's not to be misunderstood, to think that
mm-hmm.
that is my level of functioning every moment of every day. Because that's
mm-hmm.
not something that I think a lot of people who impress that on us wouldn't allow themselves to experience that themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to learn how to safeguard our boundaries so that and it's okay to hand out some of the rejection, you know, because
mm-hmm.
I think especially, you know, when you're a mom who, you know, you have to work extra hard. Like before I got married, it was me and my oldest daughter, and I think because her father wasn't there the way he should have been or needed to be, I would overcompensate, you know, and it was
mm-hmm.
like,
mm-hmm.
you know, I would give her anything she want as long as she was good. I was always bribing her with rewards and, you know, that
mm-hmm.
whole thing, and it's like, mm-mm. It goes into this very topic tonight. If I don't reject you, you're not going to have the direction that you need to navigate realistically in this world and not
mm-hmm.
have this entitlement syndrome going on or, you know, this
false
expectation
sense of entitlement.
That exactly. So it's like, no, sometimes that's an humbling experience that's needed sometimes.
mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I think it's humbling that's needed. Question is, what is the purpose for this particular thing happening? And if you don't, like you were saying, especially if it snowballs and it happens so quickly that you don't get the opportunity to process it, so it's so important to first have a healthy, tight, intimate relationship with God. And if it is a season where he have you around people, make sure that the people who are speaking into you or who are around you or who you give your ear to are people who's going to help you sift through the negative part of the rejection and not take it as there's something wrong with me in this, because that may not be it at all, at all. In fact, you may be precise for this particular thing. It's just not your moment yet, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have, if you have the wrong kind of people around you who are not mature, who are not for you, but acting like they are, you know, they could put the wrong things in your mind. They could put just those seeds of doubt, those seeds of negativity. They can just plant those little seeds there and be the little imps that the enemy used to just, you know, speak those lies. But, you know, part of the prayer that we always have is, you know, God, place your people about me that is going to be iron that sharpens the iron that I also give. You know, people who are like-minded, who have a like spirit, who is yielded to you. Not anybody who's perfect. Nobody who's trying. I mean, be 100 about your stuff. Be 100 about yourself. I don't need anybody who is so religious that they don't know how to laugh and have fun.
Right.
But God, put those people around me that is going to build me up and not tear me down. Those are my intimate circle, because God have built into our life those rejectors, those irritants. Those are built in. They have to be there to grow us up, to keep us on our knees before him. Otherwise, we won't feel like we really need to. So I, you know, it took me all of my, or the majority of my adult life to even accept that, because I didn't want to believe it when I heard it. I was like, that ain't God. God don't do that. You know, God don't, you know, let evil people or your enemies be in your life like that. And he's like, yes, he sure does. Yes, he sure
does. It's
funny.
It's funny you said that, because he will allow your enemy to take you out of your situation that he don't want you in the first place. For instance,
he does.
I had a family member. He was in a place of employment that after a while he was like, he knew it was coming to an end, because it was just things that was going on that he couldn't understand why management couldn't see it. And then finally it happened. He was released.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so I remember listening to Keon Henderson. He's a pastor. And he said, sometimes the enemy will use you. I mean, the God will use your enemy to escort you out of your I forgot the city he was telling you that he will escort you out of. But basically, he will use your enemy to either shut a door or get you out of your situation so he could take you to the next level. And he will do that. Because we won't, sometimes God want us to be out of a situation and we get comfortable. We don't want to go because we get comfortable. And it's just like an eagle when she's preparing her eaglets to fly. You know, when the eagle is pregnant, she gets the nest all comfortable, put the fur in there from her praise. You know, she has the eaglets. They're all comfortable with their mama. She goes get the worms, blah, 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 blah. But now she's got to get them prepared to leave the nest. So what she do? She starts ripping out the comfort zone to get them, you know, get to make it uncomfortable. So she puts the eaglets on her wings. She takes them, drops them. And whoever flies, good. Those who not, she swoops down, gets them up. And then each time she does, she continues to make the nest even more uncomfortable until eventually all the eaglets are flying. God has a way of doing that with us as well. He will make your situation so uncomfortable, you're going to move. And if you don't move on your own, he will have an assistant there to get you to move or have you removed.
That's for sure.
And we'll take it as rejection. Oh, Lord, why? Well, in other words, what may be rejection at the time was just a direction to where he needs you to be.
That's right.
We got
That's
to
right.
be careful. We have to be careful. Especially, I always tell people, be careful when you ask God questions, or be careful when you ask God for things. When you ask him for things, be prepared for the blessing he's going to give you. And be ready to move.
That's so true. And can I add one more thing to that? Be careful what we say in the midst of it, especially when we're going through rejection, because or when we're anticipating and wanting something to happen, it's what you say. You frame your world with your words, and that is so
powerful.
Absolutely true. So, so true. I'll never forget when I was going through young, very, very young in my marriage. And, you know, as women, we always got to call mama, you know, and talk. And it was like, mama, I don't understand this. You ain't telling me this was going to happen. You ain't telling me it was going to be like this. You know, what am I supposed to do in this kind of situation? And one thing that, oh, gosh, I lost my train of thought because my fluffy fat cat just came and sat in my lap. I apologize. And she just distracted me. Oh, framing your world. She said, baby, let me tell you something. All the things that you're saying, she said, stop saying that you're this way or things are this way and say what you want it to be. And she said, I promise you, when you start telling God what you want it to be or how you want to be treated or how you want things to be handled, then it will happen. Because his word, as long as it lines up with what his word says about order and the way things are supposed to be, say it, his word isn't going to come back void. Frame your world and watch it manifest. And I promise you, even down to the birth of our youngest child, that's truth all day long. Truth all day long. You know, we named our daughter way before we even had her, you know, probably. Let me see, we started dating in 94. I gave him a Bible in December of 94. We had her April of 2004, but we had her name picked out in December. And we named her after our love and the King James Version of love, which is charity. And it was like, we're not going to name our child, you know, a fancy car,
you know, or anything like that. Not knocking anybody who does. It's like there's power in spoken words. So, you know, this got to mean something, and our love means something. So love, what goes with love, happiness. Charity Felice, that's her name. And I promise you she lives it out loud every day. But I'm just saying that to say don't put a time frame on God either. Don't put him in the box because, you know, that's a long time, 94 to 2000. For us, 10 years. That's 10 years.
Yeah, but that's nothing to God.
Exactly, exactly. And wasn't even thinking about it on that kind of level. But, you know, I'm saying that to say, you know, say what you want it to be. God, I remember saying to God when I was making my list of all the things I wanted in my man, you know, I was like, yeah, I don't want him to smoke. I don't want him to drink. I don't want him to do this. I want him to be an old-fashioned kind of guy, you know. I want a man who adores me, who treats me that way, you know, who will say specific things to me, do specific things. And I remember praying that. Okay, that didn't happen exactly that way when I first got married, not exactly the way I was wanting it. I was like, okay, I found my guy, but all these little things that I had on my checklist, you know, I ain't checking them. So when I was complaining about those things, and my mom told me, you know, change your language. I did. And something, I don't know why it was so important to me, but I said I wanted a man who adored me, and I adore him, who loved me. And my husband, I can't tell you how many years we were married before I ever heard him say that word to me. Girl, I might have been in the past year or so. And when I heard it, I mean, a tear just rolled out because I remember asking God for, that was a specific, don't ask me why that was so special. Maybe it was because I felt rejected by other men that I gave my complete self to. So it was like, okay, this go around when I have the one that I'm going to spend the rest of my life with, I want him to adore me. And I adore him. Saying that, say I never said those words out loud and said, I want my husband to say this or feel this about me. That was just in a checklist I made pre-marriage. But when I saw it happen, I actually tried certain things and started adding to it and just watched certain things unfold, even with my kids. With the way they may act or something that they may do. It's like, God. Okay, they're going to do this. They're going to be obedient. She is going to receive and accept this without any grumbling or complaining. She will have a positive attitude about this. And she will do it with respect and humility and some integrity. And watch it unfold. It may not happen next week, but I promise you. Because all that lined up with the words say, your children should be to their parents. So, you know, there's power in speaking our direction while we're in the midst of what feels like that rejection. Speak the direction we want to go in. Or if we know God said a thing to us, he said it in our spirit, put it in the atmosphere. Speak it and put it in the atmosphere and believe that God will manifest it.
Awesome. You know, for those who are just tuning in, you're tuning into Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. My name is Fichina Kirkendall, and I'm here on the line with Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you so much for tuning in and chiming in. And if you know anyone that could be blessed, this topic tonight is direction from your rejection. And we're talking about experiencing rejection, sometimes unexpected, sometimes expected, but some, you know, what do you do when God closes that door? You know, just listening, you know, sometimes God closes the door on purpose. You know, that rejection you thought that, you know, that rejection that hurt you, that left you in tears, and you just didn't understand. And then you later on find out that that rejection led to a different direction for your life. And that's what we're talking about. So if you are on Blog Talk, you're more than happy to chime in, or for the demand, the replay, to www.blogtalkradio.com/Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. Or you may reach us on Facebook at Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. Or you may email us at coafwoman@gmail.com. That's coafwoman@gmail.com. So I just have to ask, you know, have you all experienced that rejection? And what are your experiences with it? You could definitely email me. Thank you so much for the email that I've forgotten. And I just thank you for those who've tuned in or are tuning in the United States and outside of the United States. Your support is so appreciative, and I really, really appreciate that. And tonight, it's just no exception on my appreciation. I humbly, humbly accept that, you know, and I thank you for allowing me to be the vessel tonight. But as I was mentioning, and Atlanta, Georgia was mentioning, you know, on when you get that rejection, there's power in your words when we're asking God for direction. Or there are times when we don't have a choice in the direction. As we mentioned, you know, sometimes when God closes those doors, you know, we don't understand why. And we're going to go into that in a few minutes. You know, when he closes those doors, you know, sometimes we do ask why. I'm just very transparent, so I'm just going to be transparent. We do ask why. Why, Lord? Why? Why, Lord? Why? I mean, you know, but I love him. You know, it could be, I mean, I was comfortable with this job. I mean, I thought I was going to retire with this job. And we find out that that was not where he wanted us to be. And sometimes we have to get taken out of our comfort level to put us in an uncomfortable place to be elevated. And that's where we find ourselves. And when we ask ourselves why, you know, sometimes you get that answer will be revealed if we tune ourselves into it. And sometimes you got to clean your lenses, and you got to clean your ears to find out what it is he's trying to show us and what he's trying to speak to us on. Because sometimes we get distracted. We allow distractions for us to see and to hear. But anything that he does and he wants it to come to fruition, it will happen with or without our cooperation. What do you think about that, Miss Atlanta?
I think it depends on what it is. I think there's levels to it, because there are some things that in his sovereignty, that's just how that's going to happen forever and ever, amen. But there are some things that our choice is contingent on what direction it's going to go in. And he is such a gentleman. My mom will always say it like this. She said, God is a gentleman. He will never rape you. So he's not going to force anything on you. He's not going to demand you. He may command you to do it, but he's not going to demand you. The only thing that's stronger than his will is yours to be disobedient to him. And he's not going to force you. He's a free will God. So from that perspective, yeah, I do feel
I agree. You know what? I stand corrected. You're absolutely correct. Because he will not force himself on you. He can take you to the water. He can take a, you know, it's like I always tell people, you could take a horse to the water, but you can't make him think or drink.
Exactly. Exactly.
You can't. You
so
can't make them. They have to want to.
Exactly. Exactly. And if he's providing that opportunity and everything is right for the moment, and it could be an answer to a prayer you prayed, but if you're not ready to respond when he presents the opportunity, then what? You know, delay, like you say, delayed but not denied. You know,
exactly.
But the choice is ours. Yeah.
You know, I was doing some reading, you know, because like I told you, I'm a Google person. And so I was thinking about some of the things you talked about earlier today, and we were talking about, you know, handling, you know, rejection. And I found something on Google, of course, and I am at it's Inc.com is the website that I got this from. So Inc.com, and it's 5 ways mentally strong people deal with rejection. It says rejection hurts, but it doesn't have to hold you back. And number one is they acknowledge their emotions. I want to say women are more about this than we are because we're strong. You know, we're very strong, especially if you're a single mother. You know, we always have to keep things intact, you know, so we have to maintain, because you're right, we're perceived as this S on our chest. We have to hold it together. Oh, she going to be all right. You know, she going to be all right. You know, when the truth of the matter is we're not okay, but we have no choice. Yeah. We got to survive. We're survivors. We're natural born survivors, you know, and we have to remind ourselves, you know, I tell people, I'm always good once I cry about something. If I don't cry about it, I'm not good. I'm internalizing it, and that's never a good thing for me, you know. So I don't know if anyone else has gone through that. If you're listening to the show, if you can relate to that, I would love to hear feedback from that. You know, do it, you know, if you put the feedback on Chronicles on this page, on the Facebook page, or email, I would love to hear that, you know. Number two. So number one was they acknowledge their emotions, and then number two is they view rejection as evidence they're not pushing the limits. Sometimes we have a way of trying to say, you know, people know that rejection serves as a proof that they're living their life to the fullest. You know, they expect to be rejected sometimes. You know, and they're not afraid to go for it, even when they suspect it may be a long shot. You know, some people, if you've never gotten rejected, you may be living too far inside your comfort zone. You know, yeah. And, you know, I always say success is built out of ashes, from the ashes of failure. You know, I was listening to Keon Henderson this morning, and he said, I went blank. I got to find it because I want to say, because it just caught my attention. Hold on. I will not let the show go tonight without saying it because it caught my attention so much. Oh, my gosh. I left it in my girlfriend's book. It'll come to me, but it's bothering me that I don't remember it. Then we'll go on to number three. They treat themselves with compassion is how they handle rejection, some of the ways they handle rejection.
That's
number they treat themselves with compassion because it's okay. It's okay. You know, I just know as women, we're strong and, you know, whether it's a relationship that you didn't expect to end, whether it's an employment that you didn't expect to end, you know, handle it gracefully, because that's what we're built to do, or people, period, you know, just depending on your makeup. We handle it gracefully because we know we have to be survivors. We're going to move on to the next chapter. We're going to move on to what we need to do next. At least that's my mentality. I'm thinking about what's the next move, mm-hmm. you know, and I have to learn to be compassionate. You know, people as women, we just have to learn to be compassionate with ourselves. Number four, they refuse to let rejection define them. I don't know about anyone else, but I had to learn that. I had to learn that. And I remember that from being released from a job that I didn't even think that, you know how you had that, I don't know about anyone else, but I had this attitude that I wasn't disposable until I got disposed. And it caught me off guard. And it caught me, and I was in a rut about that for a long time until I realized my season was up. And when God placed me in another position, I was like, okay, you were preparing me for something else, for something better.
Yeah.
He was preparing me
for
something better. And number five is they learn from the rejection. If you don't do anything else with having rejection in your life, you learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I've learned to ask God is, what is the lesson you want me to get from this? Show me me. And then when you show me me, give me the strength to receive what it is I need to see, so I won't make it again. And then sometimes it's a simple thank you. You removed this person out of my life. Thank you. Which goes into how I want to end the show. Sometimes when rejection occurs and things are removed out of your life, sometimes you don't need to ask questions. Sometimes you just need to say, thank you. Someone decides to walk away from you. Thank you. Then you already knew that your place of employment was already stressing you out or whatever, and they decide to release you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it could have led you into a situation. I'll go back to the relationship. They break up with you for whatever reason, and you don't know, and you know you haven't done anything. It ain't you. Sometimes it ain't you.
Exactly.
It's not you. If you know you haven't done anything, it ain't you. It's them. And you know, you look at it like this. That could have been a situation. You stay in that situation a year from now, you all stressed out, your hair all bald, and you're unhappy. Thank you. I still got my hair on my head. Life is good. I'm not stressed. I'm moving forward. The place of employment you got released from, okay, stressing you out once again, losing your hair, losing your sanity. Thank you. I got me a better position, more money, better position. Thank you. Sometimes we have to say thank you, because this is how you know when it's God, when the enemy has shut the door and when God has shut the door. When the enemy shuts the door and you prayed, God will open the door and you will get back in it. But when God shuts the door, I don't care how much praying you do, the door is not going to open. And all you can say is, thank you. Time to move on. Time to move on. And you said something earlier in Atlanta that got me. And you said you wrote something down, I think it was in 94, and then it didn't come to the fruition until 20-something.
Mm-hmm.
The time span. Sometimes We don't know what the timing is, because what could be toxic then may not be toxic later. And that could be a time period he was like, nope, I'm not opening this door right now, but I have it in store for you later. So you can't open something that's not meant to be open. It will open in his time frame and only his time frame. And we just have to be mindful of that. And you can't manipulate him because he is not to be manipulated. You cannot do that. So don't try. Ask, what's the lesson to be learned? Because there is a lesson to be learned. That's all I'm saying on this. Atlanta, Georgia, I thank you so much for tuning in and chiming in tonight. You're such a blessing.
Thank you.
And I hope that you all have gotten some type of nugget of wisdom. So if you could leave them with a nugget of wisdom this evening, what nugget of wisdom would you leave tonight?
Trust what God is saying to you and believe every true and positive thing that he said to you, about you, within you, and just press forward.
And may I piggyback off that? When you ask that question, prepare for the answer. So remove the distractions so you can receive your answer, and then ask God to give you the strength to deal with the answer that you're asking him for. My name is Regina Kirkendall, and you're tuning in to Chronicles of a Fonder Woman. I love you, but God loves you more. Have a good night.